Blog Talk Radio.
Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. It's a new summer era. We don't wanna see the heroes. We fighting against each other. It's the love that we need with one another. You understand? Trust might be love. Knowing through all, keep on going. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. Gotta get on your grind, don't confuse your mind. Let that dream come true. Stop playing a fool, chatting to my soul. Praying for forgiveness, never get lost in the world of sinners. While I'm trying my vision, seeing knowledge is given, knowing what's been hidden. Living life, only good intentions, not playing the victim. Standing by strength of perfection. Success is your best liquid. Becoming one of noble reflection. Positive vibration in the spirit. Turning for the moment with a blessing. Remember this lesson. Truth be told through these confessions. Why you guessing? Stop stressing. Stop stressing.
Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold.
Good evening, everybody. Happy Sunday. Welcome to another India Morrell Dollhouse Radio production of Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. Tonight, basically, we have, let me say first off, that song we just heard was from Kimber, entitled Black Renaissance. I know last week I had played another of her songs entitled Reality, and I didn't quite get that one, so I figured I'd jump back to Black Renaissance from Kimber. That doesn't mean that we won't get back to her song Reality. I just have to understand it a bit more yet. Anyway, moving right along, as I was saying, tonight we have basically one topic, or two topics in a sense, but one topic is going to be the main topic, which will be Donald Trump. And the second one will just be miscellaneous issues that no doubt will spin off from the Trump issue. So as usual, I'll mention the weather. It's okay up here in New York right now. It's not hot and it's not really cold, but we did have a bit of humidity here. But still, it's better than winter time. So with that having been said, still moving right along. Okay, we're going to go right on into the Donald Trump issue. But first off, I want to mention something that this Justice Ginsburg had said. Well, not really something that she has said, but more so something I had written in response to what she had said. This happened a while back, maybe a month, month and a half ago. She was the first person of actual, can I say substance? Well, political mainstream substance who has come out vigorously against Donald Trump. That is besides Senator Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts. But this Justice Ginsburg came out speaking some, truths about Trump and wondering really, how come this guy is getting so much free publicity. And that is what it is. That's just what it is. And other candidates didn't get as much free publicity as he did get and still does get, which in a real sense caused me to ask on another show, or maybe it was on Facebook, I had put forth the question, is Hillary Clinton still running? You know, because I wasn't hearing nothing about her, but only about Trump. Trump this and Trump that. Matter of fact, concerning that, and it's true, I haven't actually watched news, media news, television news, in maybe 2 or 3 weeks. Because in essence, I'm tired of hearing, you know, I'm tired of seeing Donald Trump, really, on my TV screen. And I'm even tired of people talking about Donald Trump on my TV screen, as if he's an actual legitimate presidential candidate. Well, he is a actual presidential candidate, but is he legitimate? I don't think so. I think, as some people do say and are saying, that he's a con man. And I'd even say he's a clown. Ignorant, that's a given. But anyway, but then again, some might say, well, you just said all that about Donald Trump, and here you are. Your first topic is going to be on Donald Trump. But yes, but nothing positive. No, not as the media portrays him as, you know, someone who is positive. And the thing is, they don't push back basically on anything that he talks about. They don't question him on anything, not really. And I happen to have seen via Facebook also, because like I said, I'm not watching TV news. I'm completely turned off from it. I mean, because it's like a Trump festival, basically. And it's irksome to me. But as I was saying, via Facebook, I happen to have seen that some guy, Jimmy Fallon, I don't watch his show, never did watch his show. But I guess I think they say that he's the new Tonight Show host. Yeah, I think he's the one who had placed, I'm thinking, not knowing. You all can correct me if I'm wrong, but you all know whom I'm talking about if you do watch his show, this guy Jimmy Fallon. It turns out that Donald Trump was on his show a few nights back, and it was said that this guy Fallon treated Trump with kid gloves, as they put it. I mean, in a real sense, he was actually having fun with that clown. But then again, I guess, what can you do with a clown but have fun? But no, that is what you do with a clown, have fun. But then again, you know, in a setting like that, in terms of giving that clown exposure via the media, you're supposed to press that idiot. I mean, to show his idiocy. But no, even Fallon didn't do that. Jimmy Fallon didn't even do that. Outrageous, outrageous. But anyway, so moving right along, as I had said initially before I went off on that tangent, so to speak, I was talking about Chief Justice Ginsburg and something she had said, which prompted me to write this. I think I had even put it on Facebook back then. I had written, interesting how the media is responding to Justice Ginsburg's words about or against Donald Trump. All in the media are on the talking points of labeling her words against racist Trump as inappropriate. They are using the word inappropriate in a distorted fashion, so I'd believe. Media personnel are using this word on her stance of speaking up or out on Donald Trump, basically because it's rare, if ever, that a Supreme Court justice has done so. However, a point that's missed is she's not uttering anything not true or anything that we don't already know. Basically, let me just finish reading what I had written here. Anyway, it says, Trump not revealing his taxes is like the media forgot about that. Or I said, well, so Trump not revealing his taxes is like the media forgot about that. Well, if the media hasn't forgotten about it, the media has surely ceased reporting about it. Perhaps that's why the media is using the word inappropriate towards her. She's somewhat reminding them that they are not doing their jobs when it comes to reporting on Donald J. Trump. Justice Ginsburg, like most of us, feels something is amiss with the media giving Trump so much free publicity. In my opinion, as it is hers, there's something inappropriate about how much media coverage is given to racist Trump. Excuse me. Just saying, the word inappropriate applies better to the media coverage given to Trump. yet the media wouldn't think so. Instead, the media is putting out that Justice Ginsburg's words on Trump are inappropriate. Talking about flipping the truth to the netherworld, whoa. And basically, that is what they did do. I mean, they went so well, they even, not just CNN or Fox News more so, or MSNBC, but all of the media, all of the national media I was watching at that point, and I had seen how they were all coming out against Justice Ginsburg for saying what she was saying about and or against Donald Trump. Just out MFing rages. It's like, they were even saying things like for Chief Justice, she's the first Chief Justice who's ever come out publicly and spoken against a presidential candidate. Well, at this point, I kind of feel, I don't care who would do it, so long as somebody does it, and so long as that somebody does have, let us say political and or Well, political clout, I'll put it like that, and or national stature, such as a Chief Justice of the United States, or anybody, in that realm of what respectability, let us say, use that word in this sense. Yes, anyone in that arena who would come out and speak against Trump, it would be a blessing to all of us. Instead of people just sitting back and allowing him to go on and on and on and on, and we, more so they, never questioning what he is saying and or not saying, but we know what he's saying. It's just outrageous. And then again, they really came down hard on her, and they made her shut up, because we don't hear her talking anymore. Or if she is, the media isn't reporting on her talking anymore, and it's a wonder why they are not. If she is still talking, or for that matter, anybody who is speaking out against Donald Trump. They don't report on these people. They mostly report anything that comes out of his idiotic head, basically. So anyway, I have this article here. It's entitled "Trump Voices Support for Police Officers," and this article is about a month old, basically. And it happened, this article came about soon after that killing in Milwaukee. I forget which guy was killed there in Milwaukee, really. Anyway, the article starts off to say, 40 miles north, no, let me start from the beginning. It says, Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump speaks at a campaign rally in West Bend, Wisconsin. 40 miles north of the unrest in Milwaukee, residents here in West Bend welcomed Donald Trump's visit to the area and his unwavering support of police officers who are once again facing scrutiny for the fatal shooting of a black man. While Milwaukee grapples with the violence that erupted in the wake of a police shooting on Saturday, most people intervened in this Republican stronghold said, more so most people interviewed in this Republican stronghold said they were far more concerned that the police were being unfairly criticized as racial tensions gripped the city. And they said that Trump's rally offered a chance to show support for a law and order presidency and for officers who they feel have been unfairly maligned after the police fatally shot a black man who officers say had a gun. Trump made good on the offer in his speech, accusing Hillary Clinton of pushing an anti-police narrative and saying that violent demonstrations are most harmful to the people in the communities themselves. It says here that Trump is in quotes. It says that she is against the police, believe me, Trump said of Clinton, adding that the problem is not that there are too many police. The problem is that there are not enough police. Law and order must be restored, Trump said. The people of this suburb seemed receptive. I'm going to have to hold off on the article right now because it's now 15 minutes to the hour. We're going to go into our first music break. And this is going to be from a song from Mila J entitled Diamonds featuring Drake and Future from the CoverGirl mixtape. So here we go, and we'll be right back.
Phone's blowing up right now, but I ain't tryna talk, I'm tryna feel the fire. All my bitches fucked up right now, but got the jewelry on me now, I'm tryna keep it tight. Now my nigga, he been tripping on me all week. Now I'm tryna get my mind off the shit, and you know what I need. Yeah, and I don't give a damn who sees you tryna be. Slipping on, don't bury on for no reason. Popping tags up a echelon for no reason. Seen this bad little Jones, she was perfect. I let her push the phone right now if she worth it. Falling in the middle of the club, no jersey. He don't want no liquor cause he been drinking that dirty. Bring the ace by the case, my bitch is with me. Bring some ice for my cup, my drink with me.
Up a storm like you usually do. Talking to your friends like you usually do. Telling them I never spend time with you. It's hard to find the time we've been
slipping on, don't bury on for no reason. Popping tags up a echelon for no reason. Seen this bad little Jones, she was perfect. I let her push the floor right now if she worth it. Falling in the middle of the club, no. Bring the ace by the case, my bitch is with me. Bring some ice for my cup, my drink with me. Diamonds, 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 diamonds on me dancing. Diamonds, 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 diamonds on me dancing.
And if you took it, you can vouch for me. I did it my way, you can vouch for me. I put the cocaine in the powder and the couch on me. Whenever I step outside the house, I get the Glocky on me. Bad bitches wanna come by the paparazzi on me. I got so many bad bitches that I barely wanna. I'm barely paying attention, baby, I need substance. I know you spent some time putting on your makeup and your outfit, but
welcome back to India Morel Dollhouse Radio. You're listening to Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. And we just heard a song from Mila J entitled Diamonds, featuring Drake and Future from the CoverGirl mixtape. Our caller number here is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. And if you do call in and want to ask a question or talk into the show, do press 1. Wait for the prompting to say so, then press 1. If you don't press 1, you'll only be in listening mode. So back to the topic on Donald Trump, the article in which I was reading from. I'll read the last portion I had read here. It says that, well, Trump said this about Hillary Clinton. He says she is against the police. Believe me. That's what he said. Believe me. He says that often, doesn't he? Because he know he's lying. I say, well, like I always say, being that I can laugh at this kind of stuff in this day, it's a blessing. It's a blessing because there were days wherein I wasn't laughing at stuff like this. But, I mean, it's not funny, but it is laughable, and I'm aware of that, and therefore I laugh. So I say again, according to Trump, he says that she is against the police, believe me. And then he said the problem is not that there are too many police. The problem is there are not enough police. Law and order must be restored, Trump said. The people of the suburbs seemed receptive. And the article goes further to say that this is in quotes here. I'm not sure if it's Trump or whomever, but we'll see as I read more into the article. Excuse me. It says, I don't think it's a problem, the whole Black Lives Matter. The only black people, let me read that part again. I don't think it is a problem, the whole Black Lives Matter, that only black people are getting killed. That's just not the case, said Lori Griggs, 44, who lives near West Bend and planned to attend the Trump rally. And so that's who said that, somebody named Lori Griggs. And I guess she's saying further, we should be supporting our police officers. I think that it has blown up every time that, you know, a black individual is killed, it's blown up in the news. But you don't hear about the whites that have been killed. Anyway, Trump visited Milwaukee before his rally here, but did not hold any public events in the city, choosing instead to meet privately with Milwaukee police officers and attend fundraisers. Every night in Milwaukee, this is in quotes again, someone is saying, every night in Milwaukee there is someone being shot, and they make nothing of that until a cop is involved, and then all of a sudden is always blamed on the cop, said Beck, who said he hoped West Bend's black population would not increase. He tied much of the unrest in Milwaukee to his belief that black residents do not want to work hard and instead want to use police killings to get handouts from the government. If somebody is killed, this is in quotes again, if somebody is killed, they think we owe them something, Beck said. I don't want to seem racist or nothing, but the black heritage has been raised in a certain way that there's no incentive to get out and work because all of a sudden you have five kids and there are no dads around. Believe that shit, damn. Others believe that Trump, who during his campaign has not held any events aimed at black voters in their communities, is purposely choosing to avoid the people of Milwaukee, a city of nearly 600,000, where some 40% of residents are African American, according to 2010 census. In contrast, 95% of the people of West Bend are white, and only 1% are black. The article goes further to say Donald Trump is running a campaign where he is seeking to be the voice of angry white folk, said Walter Bond, a local activist in Milwaukee and chief of staff for Teach for America Milwaukee. And it's in quotes, he says, So Donald Trump is here to sort of speak to those folks. Then it says this Faith Colas, Faith spelled F-A-I-T-H-E, last name C-O-L-A-S, age 55, who lives in Sherman Park, the mostly African-American neighborhood in Milwaukee where the unrest exploded, said that in holding his rally in West Bend, Trump was courting a community by which he will be warmly received. And then some guy named Jim D'Angelo, age 52, Republican, who lives in West Bend and works in sales, said he planned to vote for Trump and believed the candidate had been mischaracterized as a racist and a misogynist by his opponents. D'Angelo lived in Milwaukee for 5 years as a college student and also worked as an engineer in Ferguson, Missouri, where unrest over another police killing also set off widespread violence. There's no racial motivation, and this is in quotes here. It says, "There's no racial motivation to what he is doing here," D'Angelo said. "He's coming to Washington County, which is a Republican stronghold. Republicans win this county all the time, so he's coming to beef up his base." He added that the shooting in Milwaukee, as described by police, seemed justified, and that blacks are not the only people who face discrimination. It goes further to say, in quotes again, "I'm sure there has been some unfair treatment of African Americans, but I'm sure there has been unfair treatment of Asians, and for that matter, Caucasians too. So it happens every day," he said. Cindy Lindbergh said, age 64, neither here nor there, an accountant who lives in West Bend, has not decided whom she will vote for, but said she was scared by the tensions that accompany Trump's rallies. She grew up in Detroit and left at age 19 to escape racial tensions that she said plagued the city. She settled in West Bend in 1991. The article will go further to say, puts her words in quotes, "I am concerned about the violence that seems to be circling him and everywhere he goes," she said. "I was in high school during the 60s riots. I worked really, really hard to overcome the racial and social stigmas that go along with the Detroit attitudes and the big city environments. And what I'm seeing in Milwaukee breaks my heart because it brings me back to all those awful memories of what occurred back then." That's the article concerning Trump and his speaking there in Milwaukee after some black person had been killed by the police. In Milwaukee, right now, like I said, I forget which black person that was, unfortunately, but like I say, there are so many. Milwaukee, that may have been that, well, no, I don't know, so I'm not going to mention the name. But we know these things happen so frequently. And matter of fact, one just happened yesterday, Saturday. And also, again, down there in Missouri somewhere. Outrageous. But I didn't read that one because, I mean, you know, you get tired of reading these things. But I guess we shouldn't get tired of reading these things because these things are happening. But then again, nothing is being done. The same old thing over and over again. But anyway, going back into something about this article wherein Trump has said that Hillary Clinton is against the police. Now, really, who believes that other than Trump supporters? He said Hillary can. Well, he says that she is against the police, and he said, "Believe me." See, a guy like that would say anything. And then again, because basically he knows that there are some people who will believe anything that he says. Outrageous. And also, we must not forget that it was Trump who said a while back, like early summer, maybe in June sometime, or maybe it was even in April, when he was seeing that he was getting all of this attention. He had said that he could kill somebody on Fifth Avenue and nothing would be done to him. Outrageous. What sane-thinking politician would say something like that? Or what sane-thinking person would say something like that in any media outlet, that he can actually walk up somebody and kill them in broad daylight and nothing will happen to him? The man got problems, mental problems. But it's like, what? People don't see that? People don't recognize that? News media personalities who report on Trump, they don't see that? It's almost as if they've been told, don't criticize this man. Let him say what he will. Don't criticize nothing he says. Don't critique anything he says. Just let him talk. People are listening. But the thing is, the question should be, people are listening, yes, but what people are listening? Remember, Klan people are listening. Right wingers are listening. You know, white militias are listening. You know, and anti-black people are listening. In other words, racist people are listening. Idiots are listening. Lunatics are listening. That kind of reminds me, when I said lunatics are listening, that kind of reminds me also of something that Hillary Clinton had said recently. And again, the media jumped all over her about what she said. She could have said what she said and then just having had said it and moved on. But no, the media brought it to the fore about a basket of deplorables. The people who, she said most of the people who follow Trump are just a basket of, like, deplorable people. A basket, you know, picking that basket what you want out of it. You know, she said, misogynist, racist, xenophobic people. I mean, all those words that basically describe some kind of mental abnormality, some kind of mental quirk, some kind of mental negativity in that basket of deplorables. And the media jumped all over her, and then she had to backtrack and say, well, something like, that's not what she actually meant. And then they began to say, the media I'm talking about, began to say that Hillary Clinton shouldn't criticize voters. Yes, the hell she should. Or for that matter, anybody should, because in my thinking, anybody voting for Trump, they got to be out of their MFM minds. Well, no. They don't got to be. They are out of their minds. They're not geared toward realistic thinking. They're more so geared toward superficial, if not idiotic thinking. Today, matter of fact, on Facebook, I have seen someone have posted a Facebook posting of an 11-year-old girl. They said a little girl was 11 years old, and she was a white girl. But then again, she looked more Spanish-speaking than actually straight-up Caucasian. And she was talking about Donald Trump in glowing terms in her little brain, talking about what a great president he would make, because he's going to build the wall and keep out immigrants and so on and so on and so forth. 11 years old. I mean, in my opinion, in an 11-year-old, you know, that can be overlooked. That can be forgiven, because she's 11 years old. What does she know? She don't know anything. She hasn't grown enough yet to know anything. But one thing that I realized in listening to her, I realized that basically what she was saying is the same thing that a lot of adult Trump supporters are saying. Now, that's where the tragedy is. That is that an adult, let me put it correctly. The tragedy is that an adult has the same mind as an 11-year-old. There's no excuse there for the adult, but there is an excuse for that 11-year-old girl, and that is that she's only 11. She hasn't even reached puberty yet. I mean, we can even think in those terms. She hasn't even grown physically yet. Forget about mentally. And as we know, we do grow physically first, and then we grow mentally. But there are some cases where when the intellect evolves first, but that's another issue. But anyway, concerning this superficial thinking, the article has said here that Donald Trump has said the problem is not that there are too many police. The problem is that there are not enough police. Really? More police? Someone should ask that question. Really? We need more police? But then again, in asking that question, the question should be asked, okay, if we do need more police, where are all these extra police people going to be placed? And no doubt to racist Trump, his answer is easy: in the black community. As if what? White folk don't commit crimes? We can very well imagine that still there won't be police in urban communities, in urban environments. As if what? No criminal activity takes place in urban environments. Like what? No drug use take place in urban environments. And concerning drug use, like there are no drug sales that go on in urban environments. Police aren't needed there. None. Zero. So where are they needed at, supposedly in areas wherein black people live? Out MFing wages. And he said, more the problem isn't too many police, but there are not enough police. He's an absolute ignoramus. He really is. He really is. And it's outrageous that the media isn't calling him out on his BS. That's why, like I said, I stopped watching the news, and I mean, I really don't watch it. If I turn my TV on, I'm turning my TV on to watch Netflix or to watch, you know, some off channel, YouTube, something like that. Not regular TV channeling. Okay, with that said, I'm gonna have to stop there because I'm gonna have to go into our next music break. It's 5 after the hour currently. And our next song is also going to be from Mila J, entitled Don't, and also from the CoverGirl mixtape. We'll be right back.
Don't play with her, don't be dishonest. Ay. Still not understanding this logic. Ay. I'm back and I'm better. I want you bad as ever. Don't let me just let up. I wanna give you better. Baby, it's whatever. Somebody gotta step up. Gonna let somebody saw next up. Be damn if I let them catch up. It's easy to see that you're fitter. I am on a whole nother level. Girl, he only fought you over cause you let him. Fucking girl, I guess he didn't know any better. Girl, that man didn't show any effort. Do all I can just to show you you're special. Certain it's your love that holds me together. Lately you say he been killing the vibe. Gotta be sick of this guy. Pull up skirt, get in the right. Left hand is steering, the other is gripping your thigh. Light up a spliff and get high. Shawty, you deserve what you've been missing. Looking at you, I'm thinking he must be tripping. Play this song for him, girl, I'm just listening.
Keep it 100, man, ain't no shame. The way he put it down, he deserve everything. Oh, baby, I swear he holds it down. Yeah, he holds it now. So don't.
Welcome back to Indie Morrell Dollhouse Radio. You're listening to Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. We just heard another song from Mila J entitled Don't from the CoverGirl mixtape. Our caller number here is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. And if you do call in and want to ask a question or make a comment into the show, do press 1. If you don't press 1, you'll only be in listening mode. So, moving right along, getting back to this article here about Trump. You know, I want to read this part here again, wherein some guy, racist, you know, because, I mean, just listen to his words. He says, every night in Milwaukee, there's someone being shot, and they make nothing of that until a cop is involved. And then all of a sudden, it's always blamed on the cop. You know, we are hearing that a lot lately. Whenever some black person is killed by a police person, unarmed, even, it's like that don't mean nothing to those kind of people. The fact of the person being unarmed is, it don't mean nothing. It's like, it don't register. The only thing that registers in that kind of person's mind is that it's another black person. That's all that registers. Outrageous. And then he says that, like I said, it's always blamed on a cop, this guy Beck. And he went further to say that he hoped West Bend's black population would not increase. I mean, have we heard that before? And this is 2016. And it goes further to say he ties much of the unrest in Milwaukee to his belief that black residents do not want to work hard and instead want to use police killings to get handouts from the government. I mean, what kind of logic is that? Where does he get that from? Well, easily from his head. But then the question would be, what is it that's in his head for thoughts like that to be revolving around, circling around, migrating around? Really? And again, 2016. But again, in a real sense, in my opinion, those of us who try to understand that kind of mindset, it would be imperative that we read some history about this country, and primarily about the attitudes of white people during the period of African-American enslavement in this country. It's imperative that we understand, read about those attitudes then to get a grasp on this kind of attitude that I just read in this day. It hasn't changed. And it's really a wonder, how come? Why not? And then, I would even say that a lot of us, we don't know why this kind of mindset, attitude, still persists to this day. There are some of us who really wonder about it. There are some of us who think that it is learned behavior. That's an opinion. Then there's another opinion that some people are just born that way. And me, I'm stuck. I don't know. I don't know if it's learned behavior, and I don't know if they're born that way. Sometimes I can lean toward, honestly, the born that way theory. But then again, I can also lean toward the learned behavior. But then again, who knows? It could be a combination of both. Perhaps it is that some people are actually born that way. And then, as we know, some people, it can be learned behavior. But whatever, that attitude exists. That's what we have to deal with, that attitude does, in fact, exist. It's almost like a moot point, like the chicken and the egg, which came first, trying to fathom how this attitude came to be. Never mind that. It is. It has to be dealt with. Outrageous, I mean, but still, like I said, and it's 2016. It was 2015 last year, and 2014 before then. And at one point, it was 1614 also. And then damn thing changed. Well, much has changed, but much has remained the same. And again, I mean, with the advent of did I say that? Yes, I did. But more so, with the situation of education, a lot of this stuff, if education was true education as opposed to indoctrination. Now, in talking about indoctrination, I guess I'm leaning toward the learned behavior, but whatever. I'm just saying it as I'm saying it. Because of indoctrination as opposed to education, this could be a reason why these kind of attitudes still persist unto this day. Outrageous. Out MFing outrageous. But anyway, still moving right along. I have another article here on Trump. And this article here starts off by saying Trump's new message, the combination of immigration restriction and the appeal to black voters, was no contradiction. Ta-da-da-da-da-da. I had to do that like that. Anyway, the article goes further to say, in speeches this week, that's what the article says, Trump has twined his pitch to black voters with his warning about unchecked immigration. And this is in quotes here. I guess he's saying it. He's saying Hillary Clinton would rather provide a job to a refugee from overseas than to give that job to unemployed African-American youth, he said. And that pitch, said someone named Buchanan, could help Trump with the white voters who worry that by voting for him, they are endorsing racism. I mean, imagine that. You got, I mean, this is the media. This is how the media is talking also. They say that that pitch, in other words, by Trump appealing. No, he's not appealing to black Americans, not at all. He's talking at us, or talking, I don't know, talking, no. He's not talking to people like me, no. Because people like me wouldn't even be in his presence, number one. So he's talking to some black people who listen to him. I don't know if they're paid to listen to him or what. But like I said, the article says that pitch could help Trump with the white voter who would worry that by voting for him, they're endorsing racism. That's tricky right there to say that like that. As if whites are really worried that they're endorsing racism. As if a white racist is worried that they are in fact endorsing racism by endorsing a racist person. It's the media. It's the media. We have to read what is said and also listen to what is said if we can listen to it. But right now at this point, I'd rather read what's said than see people actually, human beings with human features, voicing what this idiot is saying or even trying to explain what he's saying. As opposed to explaining to us what he's not saying, and then also what he really means, and then again what he actually represents, not what he says he represents, but talking about what he actually represents. Even we can talk about his business prowess, so to speak, or his business sense. It's obvious to many that he don't have any business sense. He's a con man, a ripoff artist. Hence him having filed bankruptcy so many times. That's not a good business person, but let him tell it. He's a good businessman. I guess with that kind of mindset to always file bankruptcy, that is a form or kind of business sense, negative though it is. But again, it's a kind of business sense, just like slavery was a kind of business sense, negative though it was. Because you're taking from people without giving them their just due. Well, but anyway, moving right along. So the article goes further to say that at Trump's rally in Charlotte, North Carolina, one of the first of the Bannon era, the message was, sinking in, really? It says here, Francis Johnson, 68, said that the polls were not reflecting Trump's real level of support and that she sometimes emailed the campaign with ideas on how to change that. The pitch to black voters, she said, was smart. I really, and they have this in quotes, wherein it says, I really don't think that African Americans want to be stuck where they are. Somebody named, this person Johnson said, they're basically glorified slaves. They get free this, free that, free this, free that, and they can't get a good job and depend on the government. What else do you call it? That didn't make any sense. She said they're basically glorified slaves. They get free this, free that, free this, free that, and they can't get a good job and depend on the government. Okay, so she's saying that they can't get a good job, so therefore they depend on the government. What else do you call it? And then somebody named Ken Bazewell, it said was worried that Trump had not put enough TV ads on the air. If he did, he said, he would be trying to inject some truth into media landscape that lacked it. Wow. Going, the article further says, I just want something other than what they're pushing in mainstream America, he said. I want to know the real stuff going on behind the scenes because I'm not stupid. I'm not a sheep. I wonder what he is then or what he think he isn't. Either or. And moving right along on the Trump issue, I have this article here. It came out some time ago, last month sometime, but I'm just getting to it now. And this article here talks about, it's entitled, Donald Trump's Top Black Strategist in Florida Thrown Out of Trump Rally for Being Black. Now, is that racism 101 or not? Has to be. Anyway, the article, I'll start off the article like this. It says, even as Donald Trump suddenly reversed course with his campaign and begins telling rooms full of white people why he'd make a great president for black people, national polls say he's polling within the margin of error of 0% with African-American voters. The Trump campaign does have minority outreach efforts, but those in charge of it say the campaign is blowing them off. Worse, Trump's own top black strategist in Florida was thrown out of a Trump rally, essentially for being black. Sean P. Jackson is the head of the Black Republican Caucus of Florida, and he's also serving as a Donald Trump surrogate in the state. He claims that the head of the Trump campaign in Florida, Karen Gennaro, I think is Gennaro, has repeatedly blown off his efforts at getting the campaign to take African-American voters seriously. In fact, she apparently couldn't even remember what he looked like, despite his promise within the campaign and the numerous conversations they'd had. When the Secret Service asked Jackson what he was doing backstage at a Donald Trump rally, he identified himself, but none of Trump's people backstage could vouch for him, because none of them, you see here, it says none of them could vouch for him because none of them recognized him. He claims he had asked Gennaro to vouch for him, but she said she didn't recognize him either. So he was escorted out under the assumption he didn't belong. In other words, Donald Trump's own top campaign people in Florida were unable to distinguish the head of the Black Republican Caucus from any other random black guy when they saw him. So by default, he was thrown out for being black. In Jackson's own words, the Republican Party has done a piss-poor job of courting black votes over 50 years. Trump's sudden token mention of black voters won't change that. Someone may have to break it to Sean P. Jackson that he's wasting his time working for a party that can't even figure out what he looks like, let alone bother to care about the issues he's advocating for. Now, isn't that something? A top black Republican in the state of Florida at a Trump rally, backstage, thrown out because nobody would vouch for who he was. And now, basically, it's kind of hard to believe that no one knew what he looked like or that no one knew what he was doing back there. In essence, what happened was the racist venom that are in these people took over. And they just felt, get the nigga out of here. We don't want him back here. So show him the door. And he was shown the door. To his dismay, to his disgruntlement. You know, I mean, really. I mean, that's that coming from their mindset. But, like, what about his own mindset? Didn't he know? Again, it's 2016. Didn't he know? Don't he know? What is it that he don't know? Or he figures that what? Like so many black people wanna prove to white people, I'm not like the rest of them. You know, I'm different. That kind of reminds me of I was watching a movie Glory recently, and I recall the part wherein. But before I go there, it's currently 25 after the hour, and we're going to have to go into another music break, but I'll be back to mention what I was just going to mention about the movie Glory. But right now we're going to hear another song from Mila J entitled Friends from the CoverGirl mixtape. Here we go.
was on to the next one. I remember when you started checking up, boy, you must have learned your lesson. Trying to tell me how I always was a blessing. Stayed in the LAS, but you guessed it. Yeah, I gotcha. Too bad I'm vibing, nigga, I'll be fine without you. Yes, you found out all the mother hoes wasn't about shit. And now you're gonna waste your time chasing me. Nigga, please. Ain't no need to waste your time being caught up over me. Nigga, please. I don't wanna hear about it, you can tell your friends about it.
Go tell
about
it.
Bitches, now you wishing you was with me living life so tough. Even all your friends that I was cool with, they don't know that you be on that bullshit. Even though they didn't think that I was stupid, you did. But I ain't tripping, just don't push it. It's cool, I'ma focus on my vision. Cause you only get one pass and you use it. You use it, amusement. So funny how you used to say, have a load. So stupid, and it's so amusing. Your effort is so useless, and now you're gonna waste your time chasing me. Nigga, please, ain't no need to waste your time being caught up over me. Nigga, please, I don't wanna hear about it. You can tell your friends about. Fucking bitches, now you wishing you were with me, living life so chill. Oh, what the fuck was you thinking? You probably wasn't even thinking. Oh, yeah. Now you gotta tell your friends about it. You gotta tell them how you fucked up on the inside. Bitch like me, what the fuck was you thinking?
Welcome back to Indy Morrell Dollhouse Radio. You're listening to Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. And we just heard a song from Mila J entitled Friends, also from the CoverGirl mixtape. Our caller number here is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. And we're still on the issue, a topic of the racist Donald Trump running for president right now. Anyway, I was lastly, before we went into the music break, I was going to start speaking on something about the movie Glory and about that kind, I'm going to say it like this, yes, that kind of black person in the presence of racist white people, because I guess I have to delineate the difference between white people and then again the racist white people, because there is a difference, because I do not believe that all white people are racist. I don't believe that. I guess some just aren't born like that. Or if it's not that some are not born like that, it is a situation wherein that indoctrination doesn't flip their intellect, or more so, it doesn't stifle their intellect into knowing that human beings are human beings regardless to the color of their skin. And having said that, before I get to what I was going to say about the movie Glory and that kind of black person, like I said, human beings are human beings regardless to the color of their skin. And talking like that, saying that as I just did, you know, what I often think about is a black cat. Because of this mindset that like black is automatically bad, a black cat is considered bad or not seen in the same light as other cats. And what I think about is, what about the black kitten? A little cute black kitten because it's black, pushed to the side, kicked around, scuffed at, or, you know, scuffed, all that. And only because it's black. But look, it's a kitten, a little fluffy kitten. I mean, God, and you got people, because of that nonsense in their head, because the kitten is black, they're going to kick it around, you know, kick it away. But yet the orange cat, they'll bring it on over to them, or the white cat or the gray cat. They'll bring it close to them. But like the little black kitten, they're going to push it away, get away, out MF and rages. And, you know, like I say, a kitten. And if they do it to a kitten, what about a black person, a black child even, a black infant, a black toddler even? Outrageous. But anyway, going into what I was going to say about that kind of black person who wants to ingratiate him onto a racist white person. I mean, that kind of black person is constantly trying to prove to that racist white person that I'm not like other black people. I'm different. I'm not like them. You can treat me better than you treat them. Or even you can treat me a little better than you treat them. So as I was saying, this black Republican down there in Florida, he thrown out of a Trump rally, right? Now, going back to what I was saying about the movie Glory, I mean, this kind of black person, Morgan Freeman somewhat portrayed that kind of black person in one of the sequences of that movie. And like, that was when they had learned that the government had decided that they were going to pay black soldiers only $10 as opposed to the $20 that they had enlisted, not necessarily for, but based upon their enlistment, every other soldier got $20 a month, but because the soldier was black, they figured that $10 a month was good enough for him or her. I'm going to say her because we got to very well assume that there were some black women in the Civil War, as quiet as it's kept, and who did fight, as quiet as it's kept. But anyway, even them, because they were black, they got $10. Anyway, concerning getting back to what I was saying, you know, Denzel Washington, the movie, he started up a protest about that. And they were saying, you know, tear up, you know, the piece of paper that was to say that they were to get this $10. And Morgan Freeman, I mean, not just Morgan Freeman's character, but others were saying, you know, $10, that's a lot of money. They weren't for protesting this situation. They were going to get paid. Anyway, Morgan Freeman went up to the paymaster's desk, and then the guy told him, just, you know, make your mark, because understand at that point in time, black people could not read nor write, the majority. Therefore, a mark, just like some white people, but mostly black people, they would make their mark, make an X, just an X for their name, and that was good enough. Indeed, yes, it was. Well, anyway, Morgan Freeman went up there to the paymaster to be paid at the table. They were sitting at the table, three or four white men, and the guy said, okay, make your mark. And Morgan Freeman said, I can write my name. And the white guy told him, the white racist guy said, well, do it. You know, and then Morgan Freeman noticed that attitude from this guy. And then he then said, no, I'm not going to sign my name. I'm now with the protest. So, you know, but all I'm saying there is that Morgan Freeman felt that he can tell this guy, indicate to this guy, I'm not like the rest of the niggas that you're used to meeting or seeing. I can write my name. And the guy told him, well, do it. You know, I cracked up when I saw that part, because that's because I got that kind of mentality, and I understood what I saw. It was funny as hell to me. But and I watched that movie for that part in particular, because it's still funny to me. Yes, it is. So again, I mean, that's the way it is. Donald Trump, racist Trump, and all those people who are voting for him and who are around him, just as racist as he is. And those blacks who are around him, those are the kind of black people who want to say, I'm not like the rest of them. Outrageous. But little do they know that they only see them just like the rest of them. That's how they see them. And basically they're being used, but that's another issue. Anyway, I got another article here on this clown Trump. It's about let me see here. Okay, this article here is about when I think Dwayne Wade's cousin had been killed, and Donald Trump figured that, you know, he would speak out on that in his way, you know, in his ignorant, non-thinking way. So this article here goes to say, starts off by saying, Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump, no stranger to controversy, found himself in hot water once again after he tweeted a heartless message regarding the death of Dwayne Wade's cousin. Wade's relative, Nakia Aldridge, was pushing a stroller in Chicago on Friday afternoon when two men exchanged gunfire nearby, hitting her in the arm and the head. The mother of four was pronounced dead at a local hospital. Two people have been questioned in connection with the shooting. Trump sent out a tweet using the incident to call for the support of African Americans. Can you believe that? Well, believe it, because he did it. Only, whatever. Anyway, as expected, Trump's message was ripped across social media. Trump's camp sent out another, more appropriate tweet Saturday afternoon, the following day. And the article goes further to say, it's unknown if someone on Trump's staff suggested the more appropriate tweet, but a staffer apparently did try to clean up his first tweet, if only cosmetically. After Trump's original tweet misspelled Wade's first name, the tweet was deleted in favor of the one with the correct spelling. The two tweets were sent from different devices. See, again, they want to make an issue out of a non-issue. Because, I mean, Dwayne, I mean, it doesn't matter how it was spelled. The real issue here is that Donald Trump felt the need to say something about the killing of Dwayne Wade's cousin. But it's not that he felt the need out of any compassion or concern about what happened, but just for political reasons, hoping to get black votes, thinking that black people are going to think that he cares. And this is the tweet that the idiot sent out. He says, Dwayne Wade's cousin was just shot and killed walking her baby in Chicago. Just what I have been saying. African Americans will vote Trump. Really? I mean, really? It appears that like they say, Donald Trump spends a lot of time on Twitter. Anyway, the article goes further to say, this is not the first time the controversial candidate has tweeted a self-serving message in the wake of tragedy. After the Orlando nightclub massacre in June, Trump tweeted, appreciate the congrats for being right on radical Islamic terrorism. I don't want congrats. I want toughness and vigilance. We must be smart. Outrageous. He talked about somebody being smart. He's not even smart. Outrageous. Outrageous. That's like him, you know. Something else just as outraging is, you know, him calling Hillary Clinton a racist when he's just as racist as she is. Because a racist is a racist is a racist, regardless. It's about like this black writer named France Fanon. He's a psychologist also, a psychiatrist. He was in Algeria, long story there. But anyway, I was reading something that he had said concerning racism, and he had said that it's not so much to say that let us maybe he didn't say the two countries that I'm going to use, but I can just as well use these two countries because they're both European countries and they're both just as racist. But he has said, let us say, that it's not so much to say that France is more racist than Germany or that Germany is more racist than France. What's that issue is that they both are racist. That's the issue. So therefore, it's the same thing between Clinton and Trump. It's the thing about which races are you going to go for, Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump? Outrageous. And this other article here that I have on Trump, it says here that Donald Trump delivered a message of unity to a predominantly black church in Detroit, promising to carry on Abraham Lincoln's legacy if elected president. Would one even think that he even knew what would have been a legacy of Abraham Lincoln? Because in a real sense, Abraham Lincoln didn't have a legacy. He was killed before he was even able to put it into play. And, well, so long, sir, but this, the president who assumed the presidency after Lincoln, supposedly he put Lincoln's policies into effect, which he did not. So I guess Clinton, my mistake. So I guess Trump is really saying that he'll put Johnson, the president after Lincoln, he'll put those policies back into effect. And Johnson, he paved the way for the Ku Klux Klan, basically. Yes, he did. And he was a known racist as well. President Andrew Johnson, the guy who assumed the leadership after President Lincoln had been assassinated. Yes, vitriolic racist and a drunk. Yes, alcoholic, drunk, you name it, either or, both. Anyway, so again, I'll read here. It says that Donald Trump delivered a message of unity to a predominantly black church in Detroit, promising to carry on Abraham Lincoln's legacy if elected president. Becoming the nominee, this is in quotes, becoming the nominee of the party of Abraham Lincoln has been the greatest honor of my life, Trump told churchgoers at Great Faith Ministries International, marking his first appearance at an African-American church. It is, and this is in quotes too, it is on his legacy that I hope to build the future of the party, but more importantly, the future of the country. The interview, let me get this part straight here. Oh, the article goes further to say that the interview won't air for another week. So no doubt this article is about 2 weeks old, so more than likely the interview has already aired on TV. But like I said, I'm not watching TV recently or more so lately, so I haven't seen it. If someone posts it on Facebook, then I'll doubtlessly see it, because that's where I'm getting all of my information currently from. Again, the article goes further to say that, in quotes again, so I guess this is him talking, our nation is too divided. Imagine that. He's talking about our nation is too divided. Anyway, excuse me. We talk past each other, not to each other. Haven't we heard that somewhere before? We talk past each other, not to each other. And those who seek office do not do enough to step into the community and learn what is going on, Trump said. It goes further to say that Trump says, I'm here today to learn so that we can together remedy injustice in any form, and so we can also remedy economics so African American communities can benefit economically through jobs. And just imagine, I'm going to break off here and then interject this. This is the same guy who had recently said that it isn't that not enough police are in black communities. The problem is that, well, how did he put that? Well, in essence, he was saying that like the problem isn't police in African American communities, but the problem is not enough police are in African American communities. Or maybe he didn't say African American communities per se, but we can very well imagine that's what he meant, because he wasn't meaning putting more police in the suburbs where his fellow Klans people live at. Anyway, the article goes further to say that Donald Trump's latest gimmick, and that is what it is, a gimmick, Donald Trump's latest gimmick to act as if he cares about the black community is downright shameful, insulting, and cowardly. A Clinton aide, somebody named Marlon Marshall, said that in a statement. It says here that Jackson, too, faced criticism for inviting Trump to his church. So I guess the minister of that church is somebody's name named Jackson. They are not talking about Reverend Jesse Jackson. They're talking about some other minister whose name happens to be Jackson. And the article goes further to say that he made clear the invitation wasn't an endorsement, saying it was an opportunity to educate voters about what Trump can do for the community. And the article goes further to say that Trump has struggled with black voters throughout his campaign. A recent polling survey showed Trump with 0% support among African Americans. Trump has tried to appeal to black voters, including by asking them what they have to lose by voting against Democrats. But he has faced criticism for speaking to them while at campaign events in front of predominantly white crowds. Let me read that part again so it can be understood, if it is understood. It says here, Trump has faced criticism for speaking to them while at campaign events in front of predominantly white crowds. So who is he speaking to? If he's speaking to a white crowd, basically he's telling them what either they want to hear or don't want to hear, either or both. Because in a real sense, you can't talk to just saying. Speaking logically into this nonsense, just saying, you can't speak to a black crowd about what a white crowd might want. Well, you can, but it's not going to make any sense. It's not going to, resonate, because people are going to be thinking like, what the fuck is he talking about? Do he know who he's talking to? Is he aware of where he is? That sounds about like John McCain. During one of his presidential campaigns when he was running against now President Obama, then Senator Obama, he had, in the beginning of his speech, he shouted out John McCain. But remember, he at one point was a prisoner of war. And it was said also that during his internment as a prisoner of war, he had a leadership position by the enemy of that prison camp. Anyway, so I guess he gave a lot of speeches to other prisoners in that prison camp where he was, per his captors. But anyway, in one of John McCain's speeches, he started off by saying, "My fellow prisoners, not my fellow Americans, understand." But he came out and just, I guess you might say, he had a what do they call that, a flashback or a PTSD episode. He said, "My fellow prisoners." I rolled what he said. I said, "Oh my goodness, I heard him say it." Really? So Donald Trump, I mean, speaking to a white audience about black people, come on, something wrong with that man's mind. You can tell me it's not, but that's not true. There's something wrong with Donald Trump's mind. Yes, it is. Anyway, the article goes further to say that the businessman that is Donald Trump tried to speak directly to African Americans, promising to defend their rights to worship and to bring jobs back to their city. Where is the African Americans' right to worship? Where is it protested? But to be honest, the only place the African Americans' right to worship is protested is if he or she decides to go to a white church, more so a white racist church, better said that way. Because a regular white church with regular white people, black people are welcome, no doubt. But in a racist white church, no. You can't come in here. Where is he coming from with that? And could he do that in a white racist church? Would his presidency allow black people to go in there? Well, that's a moot point. Something to be argued or not argued. Anyway, the article goes on to say that we're one nation. It's in quotes. We're one nation. When anyone hurts, we all hurt together. We're all brothers and sisters, and we're all created by the same God. We must love each other and support each other. We're all in this together. Trump also placed the heavy focus on religion and Christianity, a rarity when the GOP nominee is on the campaign trail. We'll see a rarity on the campaign trail, but in the presence of black people or in the presence of that black forum. Can you call it a forum? Well, anyway, in the presence of where he was, he figured he'd harp on the theme of Christianity and therefore religion. And he goes further to say, I will always support your church, always, and defend your right to worship. Christian faith is not the past, but the present and the future. He opened his speech by calling the African-American church one of God's greatest gifts to America, and he really don't know how true that sentence was. Malcolm X has said that in another sense, and it is true. The greatest gift to white people, well, the greatest gift to white races in America is the church, and the black church at that. And in response to that, I had, let me see here. All right, I got this here in quotes. It says, there is perhaps no action our leaders can take that would do more to heal our country and support our people than to provide a greater platform to build the black church and churchgoers. Trump came to the church with Omarosa Mindigault. That's that black female who's always running around with him. One of those, I'm not like the rest of them black people. Anyway, a former reality TV star who helps the Trump campaign on black outreach, as well as Dr. Ben Carson, a former presidential rival turned Trump advisor and surrogate. And then what I had written in response to that, having read that article, I had written, yep, even this racist, let me read this correctly. I say, yep, even this racist bastard knows about the providence of the black church. It truly has been a gift to America and its white racists and their pet monster, racism. Without the concept of religion as promulgated by that black church and its overwhelming improper ideas of forgiveness, we'd be well on our way to make racists in this country to wake up to the idea that we as African Americans aren't having their nonsensical behavior as it relates to us based upon their disgusting notions of our origin. Yet, we must ever be cognizant that there were always more blacks contented with being slaves than there was of those dedicated to escaping the system of slavery. Then, too, there were more blacks that had contented themselves with the system of segregation than those who were fed up to the hilt with the indignities heaped upon themselves by a white racist crazed mindset. So, yes, white racist America does employ the black church and realize that the black church was the greatest gift given to white racist America. Yes, it was. Yes, it is. And still is. Okay, we're coming up on the last few minutes of the show, and I'm wondering if I should go on and read this other article on Trump. This article here primarily talks about Trump's new CEO. You may have heard that he had fired some other guy who was the CEO of his campaign, and he had hired this other guy, Steve Bannon, who also is something like the editor of the Breitbart News, a racist news publication. Breitbart. That's that guy, Breitbart. The last name, I forget that clown's first name, but he's dead now, that clown that I'm talking about. But he's the one who had caused that black female agricultural worker to lose her job, primarily because he manipulated a film or speech that she had given somewhere, and she had mentioned how she was of mind to turn down a white farmer just because he was white. But like I said, this guy had edited the film and didn't include all that she had said. She was telling that story of how that had happened, but in the end, she had changed her mind and then did do the right thing and decided not to discriminate against this guy just because he was white and just because so many black people have been discriminated against in the past by a white person who then had the position that she now has. But this guy, Breitbart, who is now dead, but his news publication is still up and running, And now this guy, who is the CEO of that news organization, Steve Bannon, if that is his name, yes, Breitbart News CEO Steve Bannon. This guy, Steve Bannon, is now Trump's campaign manager. And they want to tell us that, and they want to tell us that Donald Trump isn't racist or he does not adhere to racist views. Come on. Really? Really? I mean, like, we are just stupid, dumb. And the media goes along with this. Our media goes along with this. And I'll also say that this is why the media had jumped on Justice Ginsburg. I mean, jumped on her when she came out speaking against Donald Trump. And also, you know, berating the news media for not doing their jobs. And, you know, questioning him about what he thinks and why he thinks what he thinks. And if he thinks his thinking on this or that issue is correct. And then again, also, where are his actual credentials to run for the presidency of the United States? Where are his credentials? Justice Ginsburg had asked those questions, and she was beat back into the bush, talking about no Supreme Court justice has ever done this before. She has overstepped her boundary, speaking out into a ongoing presidential campaign. Come on. Well, we can very well imagine who those people were who were saying stuff like that. They were Trump supporters, basically. And we can even say closet Trump supporters also. Because in speaking about closet Trump supporters, where I work at, a veterans hospital. I have parked my car right next to the car that I have parked to. I have seen that some woman who works there, she had on her car a bumper sticker or a sticker on her window, Women for Trump. I said, oh, my goodness, a woman who works there at the VA, she has a sticker on her window talking about Women for Trump. I mean, oh, my goodness, and I just happened to park right next to her car. That's on the same level at, well, no, it's different, but it's just like another bumper sticker I read, a good bumper sticker that some woman had on her car. And that sticker has said, I don't listen to Rush, let me slow down. She said, I don't listen to Rush Limbaugh, I think. Okay, so we're coming down to the last seconds of the show, so I'm going to go on into our final song, which will be from our producer, Indy Morrell, entitled You Don't Deserve Me. So I want to thank everybody for listening, and we'll hear us next week. With that said, everybody have a good night, and hopefully we'll have a good week. So here we go, Indy Morrell's song, You Don't Deserve Me.